Chapter 6. The Intellectual Yet Idiot. People who don't have skin in the game. Lipid phobias. Teach a professor how to deadlift. What we saw worldwide from 2014 to 2018, from India to the UK to the US, was a rebellion against the inner circle of no-skin-in-the-game policy-making clerks and journalists' insiders, that class of paternalistic, semi-intellectual experts with some Ivy League, Oxford, Cambridge, or similar label-driven education who are telling the rest of us, 1, what to do, 2, what to eat, 3, how to speak, 4, how to think, and 5, whom to vote for. Where to find a coconut. But the problem is the one-eyed following the blind. These self-described members of the intelligentsia can't find a coconut on Coconut Island, meaning they aren't intelligent enough to define intelligence, hence fall into circularities. Their main skill is a capacity to pass exams written by people like them, or to write papers read by people like them. Some of us, not Fat Tony, have been blind to their serial incompetence. With psychology studies replicating less than 40% of the time, dietary advice reversing after 30 years of dietary fat phobia, macroeconomics and financial economics, while trapped in an intricate gargantuan patch of words, scientifically worse than astrology, this is what the reader of the Inserto has known since Fooled by Randomness. The reappointment of Bernanke in 2010, who was less than clueless about financial risk as the Federal Reserve boss, and pharmaceutical trials replicating at best only a third of the time, people are perfectly entitled to rely on their own ancestral instincts and to listen to their grandmothers or to Montaigne and such filtered classical knowledge, who have a better track record than these policy-making goons. Science and scientism. Indeed, one can see that these academico-bureaucrats who feel entitled to run our lives aren't even rigorous, whether in medical statistics or policymaking. They can't tell science from scientism. In fact, in their eyes, scientism looks more scientific than real science. For instance, it is trivial to show the following. Much of what the Cass Sunstein and Richard Thaler types, those who want to nudge us into some behavior, much of what they would classify as rational or irrational, or some such categories indicating deviation from a desired or prescribed protocol, comes from their misunderstanding of probability theory and cosmetic use of first-order models. They are also prone to mistake the ensemble for the linear aggregation of its components. That is, they think that our understanding of single individuals allows us to understand crowds and markets, or that our understanding of ants allows us to understand ant colonies. The intellectual yet idiot, IYI, is a product of modernity, hence has been proliferating since at least the mid-20th century, to reach a local supremum today, to the point that we have experienced a takeover by people without skin in the game. In most countries, the government's role is between 5 and 10 times what it was a century ago, expressed in percentage of gross domestic product. The IYI seems ubiquitous in our lives, but is still a small minority and is rarely seen outside specialized outlets, think tanks, the media, and university social science departments. Most people have proper jobs, and there are not many openings for the IYI, which explains how they could be so influential in spite of their low numbers. The IYI pathologizes others for doing things he doesn't understand without ever realizing it is his understanding that may be limited. He thinks people should act according to their best interests, and he knows their interests, particularly if they are rednecks or from the English non-crisp vowel class who voted for Brexit. When plebeians do something that makes sense to themselves, but not to him, the IYI uses the term uneducated. What we generally call participation in the political process, he calls by two distinct designations, democracy, when it fits the IYI, and populism, when plebeians dare to vote in a way that contradicts IYI preferences. While rich people believe in one tax dollar, one vote, more humanistic ones in one man, one vote, Monsanto in one lobbyist, one vote, the IYI believes in one Ivy League degree, one vote, with some equivalents for foreign elite schools and PhDs, as these are needed in the club. They're what Nietzsche called Bildungsphilisters, educated Philistines. Beware the slightly erudite who thinks he is an erudite, as well as the barber who decides to perform brain surgery. The IYI also fails to naturally detect sophistry. Intellectual yet Philistine. The IYI subscribes to The New Yorker, a journal designed so Philistines can learn to fake a conversation about evolution, neuro-something, cognitive biases, and quantum mechanics. He never curses on social media. He speaks of equality of races and economic equality, but never goes out drinking with a minority cab driver. Again, no real skin in the game, as I will repeat until I am hoarse, the concept is fundamentally foreign to the IYI. The modern IYI has attended more than one TED Talk in person or watched more than two TED Talks on YouTube. Not only did he vote for Hillary Monsanto Malmaison because she seemed electable or some such circular reasoning, but he holds that anyone who didn't do so is mentally ill. The IYI mistakes the Near East, ancient Eastern Mediterranean, for the Middle East. The IYI has a copy of the first hardback edition of The Black Swan on his shelf, but mistakes absence of evidence for evidence of absence. He believes that GMOs are science, that their technology is in the same risk class as conventional breeding. Typically, the IYI get first-order logic right, but not second-order or higher effects, making him totally incompetent in complex domains. The IYI has been wrong, historically, about Stalinism, Maoism, GMOs, Iraq, Libya, Syria, lobotomies, urban planning, low-carbohydrate diets, gym machines, behaviorism, trans fats, Freudianism, portfolio theory, linear regression, HFCS, high-fructose corn syrup, Gaussianism, Salafism, dynamic stochastic equilibrium modeling, housing projects, marathon running, selfish genes, election forecasting models, Bernie Madoff pre-blow-up, and p-values. But he is still convinced that his current position is right. Pareto's comments are harsher than mine on this topic. Never gotten drunk with Russians. The IYI joins a club to get travel privileges. If he is a social scientist, he uses statistics without knowing how they are derived, like Steven Pinker and psychalofasters in general. When in the United Kingdom, he goes to literary festivals and eats cucumber sandwiches, taking small bites at a time. He drinks red wine with steak, never white. He used to believe that dietary fat was harmful and has now completely reversed himself. Information in both cases is derived from the same source. He takes statins because his doctor told him to do so. He fails to understand ergodicity, and when explained to him, he forgets about it soon after. He doesn't use Yiddish words even when talking business. He studies grammar before speaking a language. He has a cousin who worked with someone who knows the Queen. He has never read Frederick Dahr, Libanius Antiochus, Michael Oakeshott, John Gray, Ammianus Marcellinus, Ibn Battuta, Sadia Gaon, or Joseph de Maistre. He has never gotten drunk with Russians. He never drinks to the point where he starts breaking glasses, or preferably chairs. He doesn't even know the difference between Hecate and Hecuba, which in Brooklynese is can't tell crap from crapanola. He doesn't know that there is no difference between pseudo-intellectual and intellectual in the absence of skin in the game. He has mentioned quantum mechanics at least twice in the past 5 years in conversations that had nothing to do with physics. The IYI likes to use buzzwords from philosophy of science when discussing unrelated phenomena. He goes two or three levels too theoretical for a given problem. To conclude, the intellectual yet idiot knows at any given point in time what his words or actions are doing to his reputation. But a much easier marker. He doesn't even deadlift. Also, the IYI thinks this criticism of IYIs means everybody is an idiot, not realizing that their group represents, as we said, a tiny minority. But they don't like their sense of entitlement to be challenged, and although they treat the rest of humans as inferiors, they don't like it when the water hose is turned to the opposite direction, what the French call arrosa arrosé. For instance, the economist and psycholofaster Richard Thaler, partner of the dangerous GMO advocate Ubernudger Cass Sunstein, interpreted this piece as saying that there are not many non-idiots not called Taleb, not realizing that people like him are less than 1% or even less than 0.1% of the population. Postscript. From the reactions to this chapter, which was posted before the presidential elections of 2016, I discovered that the typical IYI has difficulty, when reading, in differentiating between the satirical and the literal. Next, we stop the satirical and return to the main book with the so misunderstood topic of economic inequality by IYIs.